All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 19.
Hello everyone, and it is such a great pleasure to say welcome back to Season 19 of The Dark Paranormal. Firstly, a huge thank you as ever to everyone who reached out during the break with your comments, your experiences, your feedback. Without you, this show does not exist, therefore this is your show. If you listen to any of the past 3 or 4 seasons, you will see the changes within the show, all down to your feedback. So when I do say this is your show, that's not just lip service to make everyone feel nice, there's actual evidence out there as there is in this upcoming season. Which will be evident shortly when we read out our Patreon names, which have once again switched to the start of the show. Last season, from your suggestions, we moved them to the end of the show, but it turns out, with any sorts of introductions or any sort of information I needed to pass on, the actual episode experience still started roughly the same time, plus our Patreon team said they enjoyed listening to how many people were adding to the community. So, back to the start they go. It's on me to sew this all together. Let's take it as read. The experience will generally start around 5 minutes into the show. And the reason for that is introductions like this, commentary about anything upcoming, and any other information that you may need to know. On that note, we are, of course, this season, debuting Dark Realms as a video cast also. Now, don't worry, there will also still be the audio version going out as usual, every week to all of you, but there will also be a video version available on youtube.com/thedarkparanormal. Or you can just go to YouTube and type @thedarkparanormal, all one word. Hit subscribe and you'll never miss one of the video editions of Dark Realms. And of course, that being our first foray into the world of video does not mean it's our last. But let's just leave that as a teaser for future seasons anyway. A huge thank you to all of our new team members over at Patreon who used the break in between seasons to make sure they didn't miss their paranormal fix. When you decide to join our Patreon team, for around the price of a coffee a month, what you will get is a new show each and every week just for you named Dark Bites. You can gain access to the entire back catalogue of Dark Bites episodes, which is now coming in at around 100 and something episodes, all half an hour long. All shorter experiences direct from our listeners. Not just that, but you gain early ad-free access to everything on this main feed, which means the debut episode you're listening to now for Season 19 was heard by our Patreons on Wednesday. The same for Dark Realms, which you will find on Monday. Our Patreons have access to that today, Friday, in both video and audio format. And yes, I say this each and every time, but it's because it's the truth. The best thing about the Patreon is the community. We have built a wonderful community of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts just like you. And from being into this topic since well before the internet came along, I can tell you from being on forums, Facebook groups, things that have a hierarchical structure, none of that exists over on the Patreon, and it is the most supportive space for people to go and share their experiences. It's a genuine safe space within the paranormal community, which is one, a rare thing, and two, even rarer, the fact the community moderate themselves. And even if someone is critical of somebody's experience, it's constructive criticism, which is non-offensive to the submitter, and leads to some of the healthiest debates and theories about the paranormal that I've witnessed. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have. Tina, Betsy, Kelly McGann, Mary, Mick Norton, Matt Wymers, Jacqueline Lloyd, Rebecca Wright, Joe C., Ruben, Dawn Lowery, B. Pettifar, BD, Jack Pullman, Jacob Stout, Someguy417, Amanda, Regal Riley, Quince, Yolo4, James Sondi, Bridget, and Liam T. Thank you so much, guys. Your support means the world to me. And if you have signed up and don't tell your name, as usual, we've got a bit of a backlog after the season break, but it will be coming soon. So once more, that's patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, and I've waited weeks to say this, lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear all about a demon named Loveless. Hi, Kevin. My name is Kelly, and I live in Missouri in the United States. I'm using my real name, but I will be changing the names of the innocent people who were all affected by the scariest experience of my life. I also have no clue what to call this story, so feel free to use your imagination. Because to this day, I truly don't know what happened. I just know that something made my life a living nightmare for almost 20 years. I need to add here a trigger warning. Domestic violence and sexual assault are heavily involved. My story begins in my small hometown in Arkansas and moving into a new house. Yes, the plot of all horror stories, very original, I know. When I was 17, my family and I moved from my childhood home to a cute but very old house out on a country road named Long Creek. The back roads, as we call them in the South. I'd been dating a guy, Mike, for close to a year, and he'd proven himself to be quite the narcissistic jerk long enough into the relationship to have a hold on me. He wasn't above slapping me around, pushing me, throwing things at me, etc. Safe to say, he was no knight in shining armor. His father had physically abused his mother in front of the children on a regular basis. And I'm by no means excusing Mike's behaviour. But having grown up around it, looking back, I can see how his father heavily influenced his behaviour. Aside from the abuse I received there, I loved that little cute house that my family moved into. It was built in the early 1900s and was on a huge piece of land, surrounded by farm fields with all the room in the world for my beautiful Rottweiler named Drama to run about and play. Technically, Drama was a gift I'd given to Mike for his birthday. But it was one of those gifts that was given to him, but was really for me. A loophole I'd gotten around after my dad said I couldn't get a dog. If I'd get my boyfriend a dog and the boyfriend was always here, then my dog would be here too. Problem solved. My dad has since passed and now knows my secret. Sorry, Dad. We'd only been at the new house for about a week when I started noticing the neighbour standing outside and staring at me and Drama while he was running around an area that had been cleared out but wasn't being used for crops. It was on the opposite side of the house from hers, so he wasn't anywhere near her property. She looked to be around her late 50s and her house was about maybe 50 yards away from ours, so it was a good distance away. But close enough to see her watch me and Drama through her curtains every day, seeming quite angry. I began to ignore her, thinking she was just a grumpy old lady. One night, I'm home alone with Drama, when suddenly he became unnerved by something. He was an incredible dog, never had any behavioural issues, and never shown any signs of agitation or fear, so this odd behaviour really caught my attention. He'd been laying below the window on the side of the house, napping, and then bolted upright and turned to the window as if someone had banged on it. But there was no sound. It was silent. A little too silent. Then all the hairs on my neck began to rise. I could hear something walking around the outside of the house. But it wasn't footsteps. It's hard to explain. The leaves were rustling, but it sounded like the person's feet were either lightly dragging the ground or being lifted off the ground. The energy that filled my living room was heavy and negative. Drama began to really panic and pace around, and I was terrified. We didn't have a telephone landline, and this was well before people had cell phones. I wasn't going to my creepy neighbor for help, no way. So there was literally nothing I could do but pray that whoever or whatever this was directly outside my window would leave. And as soon as it happened, it was over. What to me felt like an eternity was probably only 10 minutes. I knew I wasn't going outside, so I spent the rest of the night with drama, wide awake, until my parents got home. I told them what happened, and they assured me it was probably some kind of animal that I wasn't used to since we moved from a town to the countryside. Well, that made sense. So I accepted that explanation and went to bed. The next morning, I step outside with drama, and he immediately made a run to the side of the house that we'd heard the footsteps from. I rounded the corner and froze in my slippers, because there was a voodoo doll hanging from a noose in my tree. It was tied to a branch much too high for a normal person to reach. Too high for a ladder to reach. The damn tree was probably 80 feet tall, and although basically face to face with me, it was tied to a branch at the very top of this tree. How the hell did that get there? I wondered. What in the world? The doll was hanging eye level with me. I walked over to the doll and I was looking it directly in its eyes made of human hair. The arms, the legs, the feet, everything was secured with human hair. It was about a foot in length, tightly woven hay, and the noose was made from a frayed rope. I looked up again, seeing just how long that rope was and how it was tied to that branch. Drama wouldn't even come to me when I'd call him. It was as if he sensed this was a very bad situation. Something was very, very wrong. And I soon found out he was right. I didn't know it yet, but everything was about to be very, very wrong. I pulled the noose from around the doll's neck and took it inside to show my parents that no, it wasn't an animal that walked by our window last night. My mum screamed a real scared scream and told me to get that thing out of her house immediately. I stepped outside and set it beside me on the porch. I just looked at it and studied it for a while, and my mum stepped outside, seeing I still had it, and told me to get rid of it. Thinking nothing of it, that my friends probably played a prank on me or something, I just threw it in the trash and went about my day as usual. I then asked my friends if they knew anything about the doll, and they all said no. It crossed my mind that it may be the old lady, but surely not. How would she climb that tree, tie a rope around a branch 80 feet in the air, climb down, and have it all done within 10 minutes? That didn't make sense. It didn't take long for things to really kick off. Within days, things started to go very wrong. First, my emotionally and sometimes physically abusive boyfriend became extremely violent. The slaps to the back of the head became punches to the side of my head, directly above my right ear. Slightly pushing me away turned to pushing me down the porch stairs, hitting me with anything he could get his hands on. He broke my elbow and threatened to kill me and my pets. He became an absolute monster and would even force me to be intimate with him in violent ways. He was already terrible. But he exploded with a violent rage almost overnight. Not only was I dealing with his violence, I began to see a large, dark figure lurking around the house. I'd see him everywhere. He was very tall and would appear in my direct line of vision. He wasn't the kind of figure that liked to hide in the dark and then disappear when you'd look at him. Even though I couldn't see his eyes, I could tell he was staring back at me. And I felt him glaring at me and he was angry with me. It felt like if he had the ability to, he would hurt me badly, or worse. And it felt like he was amplifying Mike's violence. A huge trigger warning is needed for the following event. One day, something just felt wrong. The atmosphere was heavy, and the dark figure had appeared several times, much more than I was used to. I had a terrible feeling in my gut. My parents worked overnight, and I was always home alone, or with Mike and occasionally my elder sister, when she wasn't with her boyfriend. I begged my mother to stay home, even though I knew she couldn't due to work. She told me I'd be okay and comforted me, but I knew I wouldn't be. When Mike showed up, the violence began immediately. When I say the fight took place all over the house, I mean literally the entire house. It was built in the early 1900s, where most homes didn't have hallways and all rooms were adjoined by just a doorway. You'd have to walk through the living room, through my father's office, through their bedroom to finally reach my bedroom, with my sister's joined to mine with a back door. The details are always hard to think about, so I'll spare them. But I ended up at the very back of the house and managed to get to the back door. When I got through that door, I ran for my life. I ran and I ran until I realized I was in that creepy woman's yard. And then I bolted towards a cow pasture, cow shit and all. I'd rather run through that than let Mike find me. I could hear Mike screaming like a lunatic looking for me. But he was so out of shape, he couldn't keep up with me. I played sport, dance, and cheered my entire life. I could outrun him by a mile, and that's what I did. I fell into a slightly deep ditch, but I stayed there because I was well camouflaged, and I stayed in that ditch until I heard my father's truck. Mike, of course, left as soon as my parents got home, but that didn't stop my father from trying to hit Mike in the head with a hammer when he dared to show his face. I'd never seen my dad look so wild in the eyes, but I knew where his mind was. I was the youngest, therefore the default favourite, so I knew he'd badly hurt Mike given the chance. As a side note, my sister did beat up Mike one night, and it was pretty darn entertaining, and I'll admire her forever for that. After that night on Long Creek, I knew I had to leave. I had to get away from that house and that black figure. I felt like I was going crazy. And being so far out in the country with no land telephone line, Mike actually had the perfect opportunity to kill me if he wanted to. The only place I could go was to Mike's sister, Andrea. I asked if I could stay there because Mike was never violent around Andrea. He was an arsehole, yes, but I felt physically safe at Andrea's. I thought that surely I just needed to leave the house and that black figure would stay there. But I was wrong. He followed me. He'd stand in front of me just staring with his non-existent eyes. One day I burst out to Andrea. "Listen, I'm seeing something crazy and I think it's a demon." I explained to her exactly what happened and what I was seeing, and she proceeded to tell me a story that blew my mind. She told me about black boots, the tall, dark figure in the trench coat that made her father beat her mother. They'd all seen black boots from early ages, and he'd always appear before the violent fights. I was stunned. I just stared at her in silence, not knowing what to say. She said, "I'm probably seeing him." She told me that she knew Mike was abusive and that maybe the evil energy stuck to him and then to me. At the time, as silly as it was the only conclusion I could come to. Of course, if Andrea left the house, I'd be beaten up. It was a regular occurrence at this point. Once more, I knew I had to leave because I literally thought he would kill me. As violent as some of the beatings were, I'm surprised he hadn't done it already. But I knew it would eventually come, so I had to run. but it would be a long time before I could leave, and the violence continued and escalated. In 2002, I was 19, and by some miraculous intervention, my parents found employment in a different state. This was my only way out. I had to convince Mike to let me go, saying that I'd only work for 2 months to make enough money for us to get our own home. But I knew I had no intention of ever coming back. I packed what little I could fit into the trunk of my dad's car, and we headed to Chicago, Illinois. I was only there a month before my brother, who lives in the town I now currently live in, travelled for work and needed childcare, and asked me to stay since he knew, and everyone else knew, what I would be going back to if I went back. I did not hesitate. I had a laundry basket of clothes and my very old worn-out trapper keeper that held my poetry and art. The only thing was, I had to leave drama with Mike to make this plan seem believable. But I knew I'd do everything in my power to sneak back for a night and get that dog. I laid low for a while. Mike believed I was still in Chicago. Somehow I remained hidden and I managed to secure a job and a car. I hid from everyone whilst I was there, including my best friend. I couldn't risk him finding me. I hadn't seen that tall man in weeks, and I genuinely felt like he was gone. I felt like maybe I'd finally gotten rid of it. When it was time to call Mike and tell him I would never be back, and proceed to tell him everything I'd ever wanted to say to him, let me tell you how good that felt. There was nothing he could do. He was sat on the couch in Arkansas, and he had no clue where I was, who I was with, and the rage in his voice when I told him he'd never see me again was music to my ears. I did it. I'd eliminated the evil from my life, and I could move on. Little did I know. Let's have a quick break to ask you a personal question. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. You would not believe the amount of things that can mess with our hormones. Even nature likes to put us through hormonal changes, premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you're meant to suffer through it. And the good news is, you don't have to suffer through it anymore because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony sells every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their over 30,000 plus reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Quite a while went by without me seeing the figure. I was busy and making new friends. I loved my job, I had a social life for what felt like the first time, and I gained the confidence that my ex had taken from me. And after a short time, I'd given Andrea my number, because I was no longer scared of Mike. I had plenty of new friends ready to take care of him if he tried anything. I let her know that I'd be travelling back soon to get Drama and all of his things. About a week later, she called me hysterical. She claimed Drama had just dropped dead. One minute he was fine, the next he was dead. I screamed at her and told her no, she knew Mike killed Drama. He was absolutely capable of doing such a horrid thing. She had to yell back to calm me down because she witnessed Drama die and Mike was nowhere around. Drama just collapsed. Now, I'm not good at much, but one thing I am good at is taking care of animals. Drama was a healthy dog. There's no reason he should have just died like that. I still don't know what happened. Mike threw him in a river before I got the chance to get to his body. I was devastated. My Drama, my good boy, was gone. I left him there and was too late. To this day, I can't forgive myself for not going back sooner, or that I should have kept it a secret. I got a job at a clothing store, and that's where I met my son's father, Stephen. It was a good relationship, but not wonderful, and not horrible either. About a year after our son Evan was born, we split up off and on and finally parted ways for good in 2005. I'd almost forgotten about the figure until I was working late one night in the office at a new job. I was the only one on my floor, and again, in true horror story fashion, the floor above was vacant. It's around 9 p.m. at night, and I'm wrapping up, when suddenly, I hear someone stomp loudly directly above my head. But it didn't sound like it was on the next level. It sounded like it was in between the ceiling above me and the floor on the next level. I said very loudly, "Fuck this," switched my computer off without saving a darn thing, and hightailed it out of there. By this time, I had a new boyfriend, Ben. He was a kind man and respectful to me. My sister Julie had also moved to the city I lived in to be with all of her nieces and nephews. The breakup with Stephen had left us both without an apartment, so I lived with Julie and saved up for my own place. My son was about 3 years old at the time and was a very independent young boy. He learned to potty train pretty early, so I didn't always have to go with him to the bathroom. One day, he runs down the hall, scared, saying he'd seen a tall, dark man come out of the bathroom wall. My heart hit the floor, and then I immediately got angry. This monster was now going after my baby. This mama bear wasn't having it. Against my better judgment, I started to talk to him. I would call him a bastard and tell him to leave my son alone. Haunt me all you want, but leave my baby out of it. But that only seemed to make this figure, entity, whatever hellish thing this is, stronger. Today, I know that speaking to it gave it power. But I was desperate at the time, and I didn't know what I was doing. Evan named him the Scary. Evan would see him in the bathroom mostly. When he was calm, I was able to ask him what he saw. Evan explained to me what I'd been seeing, only with one significant difference. When I'd mentioned it didn't have eyes, Evan looked at me and said, "I can see his eyes, Mum. They're white." My blood ran cold. Soon, I found a two-bedroom trailer in a trailer park and was so over the moon that I'd finally got a place of my own with Evan. And he had his very own bedroom. I loved it. It was a tiny single wide and perfect for us. But the dark figure continued to hang around. It mostly took to scaring my son by standing in his closet or peeking at him in random places. We'd kind of gotten used to him, I suppose. Ben didn't have a violent bone in his body. And as we got to know one another more, I found out that he too witnessed his father abuse his mother. He's never shown any sign of violent behaviour towards me, so I didn't think twice about what could happen. A little time goes by and Ben and I get into our first argument. It was a heated conversation, but no red flags or alarm bells went off. I turned around to walk down the hallway and told him I was going to step to my room to cool off. Next thing I knew, I'm jerked backwards by my arm by Ben. He had a tight grip on my arm that I just couldn't get away from, and I asked him what the hell he was doing. I was genuinely confused by his behavior and terrified. I'd been in this position once, and I would not be in it again. I fought back against him as hard as I could, pushing, scratching, kicking anything I could get to get him away from me. Suddenly, he lifts me off the ground like what you see from a wrestler and throws me against the hallway wall, breaking the thin wall completely down and leading to us landing on my son's floor. Ben's hands were squeezing my shirt so tight his knuckles were turning white. Ben had blue eyes, but right now, looking up at this deranged man, his pupils were so dilated, I couldn't see the blue in his eyes. His face was red, and he was holding his breath to the point that I thought he'd pass out on top of me. The very next second, he's off me, crawling to the living room, apologizing, in tears, and terrified of what he'd just done. I scooted to the end of the hallway so I could see Ben's face. We sat in silence for what felt like ages. I stood up, walked out of my house, got in my car, and drove, thanking the stars that my son was with Stephen that day. I returned home, honestly expecting Ben to be gone, but he was on my porch when I pulled in the driveway. I sat there for a moment, but slowly got out of the car and proceeded with caution. He was sad and pleaded with me not to be scared of him. I walked up the steps to sit by him. His only words were, "His name is Loveless." "Whose name is Loveless?" I asked back. "The dark figure. His name is Loveless." I asked him how he knew, and he responded, "Because there is no love there. He's completely void of love." Ben never forgave himself for the incident in my hallway, and we decided it was best if we civilly parted ways. After he left, I stepped inside the house and said, "I know who you are now, arsehole." Turns out it didn't give me any leverage against him, and things just got worse. I loved hosting little get-togethers, so one evening I had friends over and was making a big dinner. We were all settling in to watch the cartoon movie Cars with Evan. He was sitting on the floor when he got up and came to sit by me. He whined a little and I asked what was wrong. He said the scary was in the hallway. I just squeezed him and I told him I'd always protect him. I glanced in the hallway and I could see Loveless. This time, 100% different than any other time I'd seen him, he was crouching low. He was sliding back and forth against the wall in such an unhuman way that I felt sick to my stomach. Then, panic. "You guys, we need to get out of here right now." My friends knew all about Loveless, so they followed me outside, practically running. As I shut my front door and ran down those stairs, a very loud and forceful banging, like someone very heavy running from one end of my trailer to the other, was heard by everyone. Evan was scared and crying, and I was a solid chunk of ice. I couldn't move, and my friends were almost going out of their minds. I couldn't go back in there. So my neighbour, who'd witnessed the entire event outside, let Evan and I sleep on her couch that night. The next morning, I hesitantly went home. I poked my head in the door to look around. I dropped Evan off with Julie, so I was alone and creeped out to the max. The air still had that stuffy, heavy feeling, and I knew Loveless was there. The rest of the day and the next few days went by without incident. I'd gotten off work one day early and called my landlord to ask if I could pay my rent a few days after the first, because I was short. Initially, he said it was okay, but within an hour, there was a knock at my door like the police were breaking in. I didn't even have time to make it to the door before it was kicked in. It was my landlord, raging mad, demanding his money, and to make the situation even more bizarre, he dug into the ground and broke the water supply to my trailer. I called the police and I pressed charges. The case ended up in civil court. My landlord never showed up to the court hearing, and I'm not sure whatever ended up happening with him. I'd had no choice to leave immediately because my trailer had no water. By this time, my parents had also moved to town to be with their children and grandchildren. So, again, I'm homeless and need a place to stay. I moved in with my parents and things were good. I could still see Loveless, though. Evan could as well. I think we just got used to him. A year went by and life went on. I'd managed to save enough money to rent an efficiency apartment. It's one large room with a tiny kitchen, a tiny bathroom, and nothing else. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over my son's head. Insert a new love interest here. He was a neighbour at the apartment building. It only took a few days for Loveless to start showing up more than 10 times a day for me to tell the new guy, "Sorry, pal, can't continue." His angry response was all I needed to know that I'd made the right call. I spent the next year casually dating, but never committing to anything serious. And I never brought anyone home. I'd gotten used to Loveless. He was just another regular figure in my life. Always there, always staring at me with those eyes that weren't there. In May of 2008, I reconnected with an old friend, my now husband, Nathan. I always knew him to be a sweet guy, and I'd always thought he was cute. But we'd always been involved with someone else. One evening, way back in the days of MySpace, we started chatting. We'd both just gone through a breakup and leaned on one another as we continued to talk. And as we did, we realised there might be something there. I was excited but nervous about Loveless. I didn't know what he was, but I knew he was always likely to pop up and cause trouble around men. I told him about Loveless and my experiences, and he didn't seem bothered at all. We dated for about 7 months or so before making the leap of moving in together. Yes, Loveless was still there, but now it was different. Instead of being in my direct line of sight, he'd stand outside the room I was in and developed a new, terrifying habit, whispering to me to come here. I could hear his voice as clear as day, like a terrifying hiss, just not as sharp, just above a whisper. I'd gotten into the habit of telling him no. "Go away, Loveless. You're getting on my nerves today, Loveless." Yet, day after day, there he'd be. While my story is close to coming to an end, it's not yet over. There's pertinent information that I do need to add. When I was a teen, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I didn't believe I was bipolar at the time. I just think I was a teenager with a really shitty attitude. I'd never been able to seek mental health help because I didn't know it was a thing in my small hometown. When I moved to Missouri, I was able to find the help I needed. I was constantly on a rotation of pills, figuring out what would work for me. Doctor after doctor would tell me it's all in my head. I thought to myself, well, they're the professionals, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm just losing my mind. Nothing ever helped. Nothing took Loveless away. Nothing worked. I spent a long time without psychiatric help again, dealing with mood swings, a bad temper, anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation. I was a mental mess. I was told I was hallucinating by a doctor I saw early on, and that unfortunately prevented me from opening up for several years. I'd later open up finally and was placed on medications to help with everything, and hopefully help me stop hallucinating. Well, my mood improved, my anxiety was under control, my depression lifted a bit, and I was overall feeling pretty good. But Loveless never went away. After Nathan and I got married in 2010, Loveless would remain in my house. But he started to hide in corners, on the ceiling, in small spaces, anywhere he could find. Nathan is a good man and doesn't let anything influence him. He's never been one to succumb to peer pressure or easily swayed by anything. He'd get out of bed at 2 a.m. for me if I said I woke up to Loveless on the ceiling. He'd turn on the lights, tell the freeloader to pay the bills or get out, and spend however long it took to calm me down. Loveless would continue to hang around for 10 more years. Behind me, always looking at me, always angry. I could feel his heaviness and negativity. I'd gotten so used to it, in fact, that when I woke up one morning expecting him to be there, I was surprised when he wasn't. Something felt lighter. The entire day went by without a trace of Loveless. The next day was the same. And the next, and the next, and the next. The heavy feeling was gone. He was gone. The whispering had stopped. I was afraid to ask out loud. But was Loveless gone? Where did he go? And what the fuck was he? I obsessed over these questions for a long time, and I still don't know what happened to me. I don't know if I was cursed by a witch, if a demon attached itself to me, or if I really was crazy. It all felt very real to me, though, so I don't buy that I was crazy. Did the witch curse me with a demon? Did evil latch onto me? Or was it Black Boots all along, causing everything? Were Loveless and Black Boots the same thing? I even figured in the timeline, if the creepy neighbour was in her 50s in 1999, by 2017, she'd be roughly 67 now. Did she pass? And did that go with her? It was a truly bizarre and horrifying experience that lasted damn near 2 decades, and I still don't have an answer, and I know I never will. All I do know is that Loveless is gone. If I didn't believe in evil before, I surely do now. But what kind of evil? I'll never know. It's currently December 2024, and some odd things are starting to pick up, unrelated to my previous experience. Thank you so much for what you do. Your podcast has helped me in knowing that bizarre and unexplainable things do happen. They are real. And if you ever see dark figures standing in the shadows and you feel like you might be going crazy, you're probably not. Regards, Kelly. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for being our debut episode for season 19 of The Dark Paranormal. And I have no idea what that thing was either. Or indeed if it even relates to that voodoo doll you found in the tree. Especially as Black Boots was seen by Andrea as a child. His existence seems to predate that of the voodoo doll in the tree. Not necessarily ruling out that there's a connection somewhere there, but a better person than I would need to figure that one out. But thank you so much, Kelly, for being our first debut episode for season 19 of The Dark Paranormal. And thank you and welcome back to each and every one of you guys listening out there. We'll speak to you next on Monday for Dark Realms, which, don't forget, will also be on YouTube. Until then, remember, whenever you discuss the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll speak to you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.